Galatians, the third chapter. And if yours is a Scofield Reference Bible, turn to page 1243. We'll be reading the first six verses of the third chapter of Galatians. Verses 1 through 6, we'll read the verses responsively. Page 1243. And may we stand together for the reading of God's Word. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you: receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? And this is the text verse. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain? If it be yet in vain. He therefore that ministereth to you in the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And may we pray. Father, we thank thee for today, for the blessing and privilege that is ours in being here in such a place as this. Of all the places in the world, there are those of us here who would rather be here than just anywhere else. Thank you for what we have here, for what we experience week by week. Help now and bless in this service. We need thee. Bless with power the preaching, our preacher, and give us keen attention to every word. In Jesus' name, amen.
There are those who live in the flesh. Now listen carefully. There are those who live in the flesh because they never got above that. They got saved, and they just never grew a great deal. They just live in the flesh and never have known a close walk with God. Then there are those who live in the flesh who did grow and became dedicated Christians and had a close walk with God. And they lost that close walk with God. And now they live in the flesh. I'm going to talk this morning about the last group of people. Those who really did walk with God. I don't like the word fell into sin. Nobody falls into sin. You go into sin. You don't uh-oh into sin. You choose to go into sin. The Apostle Paul wrote to Ephesians, and he said, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. This morning, if you will give me very rapt attention, I'm going to talk to you about one of the shrewdest wiles of the devil. I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, the flesh that nobody knows about. The flesh that nobody knows about. It would be to your benefit this morning if you would listen carefully. Heavenly Father, we come now to the preaching of thy word. This is not a church where we just come because we have some ritual to go through. We're not here this morning to get the same thing we got last Sunday. We're here this morning by divine appointment because you have a message you want us to hear and a truth you want us to digest. Please don't let my people leave this morning without that truth. Please. Amen. If you would give me total and rapt attention this morning, you will learn one of the shrewdest of all the wiles of the devil. Let me lay a foundation very carefully, and would you listen as carefully as I speak? The devil is after you. I said the devil is after you. He is after your life. He wants to ruin your life with unrighteousness. He wants you to live in the unrighteousness of the flesh. But for most of you, I believe, he cannot. Because your soul, as I've taught on Wednesday nights, your soul has chosen to live under the rule of the Spirit. But the devil's not through. Please listen. The devil's not through. There are two types of the work of the flesh. The first type of the work of the flesh is Satan's work on the flesh itself. But the second type of the work of the flesh is a work on the soul. Let me put it like this. There are the unrighteous works of the flesh, and there are the self-righteous works of the soul. Don't miss that now. The unrighteous works of the flesh. Look at me now. Say it out loud. Ready? The unrighteous works of the flesh. But there is a second part of the flesh, and that is the self-righteous works of the soul. Say that. The self-righteous works of the soul. Now, in the Bible, the soul and the body combine the flesh. When the Bible speaks of the flesh, he's talking about the soul and the body. Jesus said, I don't fear him which can destroy just your soul, but him that can destroy both body and soul in hell. Now, the devil comes to you. His desire is to defile your flesh with unrighteousness. But he finds himself unable to defile your flesh with unrighteousness, because your soul has yielded to the control of the Spirit. However, the devil isn't through yet. So he ceases to work on the flesh. Now listen carefully. He ceases to work on the flesh and begins to work on the soul. He knows he cannot get your flesh to do unrighteousness, so he works on your soul to get your soul to commit self-righteousness. Now, the Christian wins the victory over the unrighteous works of the flesh, but he does not realize there are other fleshly works than unrighteousness. There is self-righteousness. Now, listen carefully to this. Satan comes to lead the Christian into the self-righteous works, the unrighteous works of the flesh. He fails to do so. So he attacks the self-righteous works of the soul. And then he has us living in the flesh. Now, hear me now. Brother John, stand up here. And Brother Boyd, stand beside him here. Let's let Brother John, he always gets the bad part of this. He represents the flesh. And Brother Boyd represents the soul. Now, I represent the devil. Are you listening? Listen now. Everybody look this way. Everybody, right this way. The devil comes and says, I'll attack the flesh. Now, that's lasciviousness. That's fornication. That's drunkenness. That's lying. That's cheating. That's stealing. That's profanity. He comes and says, I'll attack the flesh. But we have a guard against that, in that we have yielded to the Spirit to do works of righteousness. Now, wait a minute. The devil comes and says, okay, I can't get entrance by this part of the flesh. I'll come to that part of the flesh,
and I'll get him to do self-righteousness, which is doing good works in the energy of the flesh for the glory of the flesh. If I can't get him to do bad works out in the flesh, I'll get him to do good works in the flesh. So he gets us to do good works in the flesh. Now he has his entrance into us. He has us living in the flesh, not in the unrighteous works of the flesh, but the self-righteous works of the flesh. He has us now living in the flesh. And so it is no problem for him to transfer us to the unrighteous works of the flesh. Thank you, fellas. I don't think you got that. Did you get it? I don't think you did. Let me try it again. Everybody listening now, listen, a lot of you are going to go into sin one of these days, and you don't have to do that. And here's what happened. The devil says, I want you to cuss and drink and swear and live immoral. I want you to live a wicked life. I want to get you to do unrighteous works. You won't do that because you want to do righteous works. But let me tell you something. The righteous works of the flesh are as wrong as the unrighteous works of the flesh. There's no way the flesh can please God. So the devil comes along and the devil says, okay, I'll get you to do good works in the energy of the flesh. Now he has you in the flesh doing good works, but you're in the flesh. So it's no problem for him to have you slide over to the unrighteous works of the flesh because he has you in the flesh doing self-righteous works. Let me illustrate. I think I can catch you up here. Here's a person that is asked to teach a Sunday school class. Oh, boy, that's a wonderful thing. A Sunday school class. Hear me now. He takes that class, and he realizes the tremendous responsibility of teaching a Sunday school class. So he gets on his knees and says, Dear God, lead me as I teach this class. Holy Spirit, as I teach Sunday... Now, would you agree that teaching Sunday school is a good work?
It is, isn't it?
It's a good work. All right, now follow me. He says, I'll teach that class. And so in the energy and the power of the Holy Spirit of God, he teaches that class. Then, after a while, the devil comes along and says, keep on teaching the class. But you can make it on your own now. You don't have to pray like you used to pray. You have to study like you used to study. You can go ahead and teach that Sunday school class. So what happens? You don't yield unto the Holy Spirit anymore. You don't beg God for his power anymore. You don't plead with God to give you what to say anymore. And you still teach that Sunday school class. And I'm talking to dozens of folks right now who are in this place right now. You teach that Sunday school class, but you do it in the flesh. You did not pray 1 minute last week for your pupils. You did not beg God 1 minute last week for the power of the Holy Spirit as you taught your class. What have you done? You're now doing a good work in the power of the Spirit. Are you listening? Now you're doing a good work in the energy of the flesh, and you have, the devil has got into you, and you're doing good works in the flesh, and the devil has you in the flesh because you're teaching your Sunday school class in the flesh, and now then you're easy prey for the unrighteous works of the flesh because you're already doing the self-righteous works of the flesh. Now do you understand? Three of you understand. Let me say it again. Here's a person that's asked to sing a solo in church or in a special group. And that person has never sung before crowd, never a special. And that person begs God for his help and begs the Holy Spirit to give him or her power as he or she sings. Now, she stands up, let's just say it's a lady, stands up and she sings. And there's a yielding to the Holy Spirit because she says, I cannot do it by myself. I cannot do it alone. God, you've got to help me. I can't do it by myself. And so she stands up to sing, and there's a sweet, good work that she performs in the energy and power of the Holy Spirit. But she sings a dozen times in church. She says, never mind, God, I can make it by myself now. Whereas she used to pray 30 minutes for God's Holy Spirit to sing through her. Now she doesn't pray at all. She still prepares. She still practices. She still learns the song. But see, what she's doing is this. She is doing a good work in the energy of the flesh. Now, she did that same work in the energy of the Spirit. But now the devil comes along and says, go into deep sin. I will not go into deep sin. Go into unclean fleshly living. I will not go into the flesh, unclean fleshly living. The
devil says, okay, how about self-righteous uncleanness? Let me help you. You do it by yourself. You sink in the flesh. You don't have to pray anymore.
You haven't got to beg God for His power anymore. And so you're still doing the good deed. Is it a good deed to sing a solo? Is it a good work to sing a solo? Yes or no? Yes or no? Yes, it is. And so what happened? She's doing the good deed she did, but she is not laying herself at the mercy of the Holy Spirit of God. He is no longer singing through her. She's singing in the flesh.
The devil's got her in the flesh. So problem now to get her to go to the unclean works of the flesh. She's already in the self-righteous works of the flesh. Illustration. Here's a young man's call to preach.
Boy, you just don't understand this unless you've ever been preached your first sermon. Man, that first sermon comes up and you say, dear God, I've got to have hell. Oh, my soul. Listen, back in those early days when I pastored a church, I can recall midnight on Saturday night, not a single thing to say on Sunday. I can recall going through the Bible and saying, there's 66 books here, thousands of verses. There's got to be something I can preach from tomorrow morning. And it's only 11 hours, so I've got to walk up there. God, quick, help me. And I'd fall on my face and say, oh, God, help me. Now listen, I'm preaching, and that's a good work. And I'm preaching in the energy and power of the Holy Spirit of God. But experience comes. And now I know how to preach. And now I know the techniques of preaching. I know the ABCs of preaching. I don't need to pray all night anymore. I don't need to beg God anymore. What happened? I began to preach because I can preach. And the devil who could not get me here, the devil could not get me into unrighteous flesh. He gets me into self-righteous flesh because I don't need it anymore. I preach in my own energy. Ladies and gentlemen, God's people have to realize that good flesh is as bad as bad flesh. Why do some preachers stumble? They stumble because they quit throwing themselves at the mercy of God. They stumble because they think they can make it themselves now, and that which they used to do in the power of the Holy Spirit after praying and waiting on God, they now do it in the power of the flesh. And the devil that could not get you into awful sin, get you into good works. And you do the good works in the power of the flesh. And the devil has you in the flesh, and it's no problem now for him to transfer you over to the unclean flesh. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying that you better throw yourself always at the mercy of the Holy Spirit of God in everything you do. Because that you do in your own strength, your own energy, your own flesh. I'm talking about teaching a Sunday school class. I'm talking about teaching a class in college. I'm talking about teaching a class in grade school. I'm talking about teaching a class in junior high. I'm talking about leading a children's choir. I'm talking about being a youth worker. I'm talking about being a youth director. I'm talking about being a Christian coach. I'm talking about being a choir director. I'm talking about being a visitation director. Listen, there comes a time in our lives where we become talented and able. We know our work. We know what we're doing. We've done it for a long time. We can stand up and teach for 30 minutes without studying. Listen, I've been preaching. We've had enough walking out. Now let's get settled down, folks. We're having church here. Let's stop walking out of the service while I'm preaching. Listen now. I've been preaching, I've been pastoring over 37 years. Please forgive me for saying this. You name the subject, a Bible subject, you name it, you give me 5 minutes to think about it, and I'll preach an hour on it. I guarantee you. May I say, as far as knowing the book and preaching the book, I don't have to study anymore. I've lived in this book for almost a half a century. I know enough of this book. I could never open it again and never cry on God to help me again, and I could preach. But I'll guarantee you, I study more for my sermons now 2 to 1 than I did 25 years ago. I spend more time praying for my sermons now 2 to 1 than I did 25 years ago. Why? Because the more able you get and the more knowledgeable you get, the easier it is to depend on you and not on God. I had no choice back yonder 35 years ago. I had to throw myself at the mercy of God and say, oh God, I've got to have your help. I've got to have your strength. I've got to have your power. I had to do that even to succeed in getting through the sermon. Now I can make it by myself. I can preach by myself. It's so easy for us. We become able as a preacher, as a singer, as a teacher, as a superintendent, as a youth worker. It is so easy for us to say, I can make it by myself. No, you can't make it by yourself. No, you can't make it by yourself. Because when you make it by yourself, the devil has you in the flesh. You're doing good in the flesh, and when you do good in the flesh, you're still in the flesh. And he'll have you doing bad in the flesh in a few days. Now, don't you just try to keep doing bad. See, bad repulses us. We don't like to think about doing bad. But doing good's always good. No, it's not. Doing good in the flesh is still flesh. Illustration. You go soul winning. And you've never gone soul winning. A little lady wrote me a letter this week, said she went in her first souls to Christ, happy as can be. And yeah, you go soul winning. And you're just like, oh God, you give me words to say, oh, you're going to have to help me. And oh, Holy Spirit, give me power as I go soul winning. And God does. But you'll forgive me. I could quote the plan of salvation backwards. I've been telling folks I've been saved now for many decades, several decades. I don't need to ask God to help me have the words to say. I know the words to say. I've written books on soul winning. I've talked on soul winning. They call me around America, Mr. Soul Winning. I don't need that anymore as far as the mechanics is concerned. But if the devil can get me to going soul winning in the flesh, he has me in the flesh, and then he can transfer me from self-righteous flesh, self-reliant flesh, to unrighteous flesh. And that's the way you stumble. The devil's not going to get most of you in the deep sin because he comes up and says, do it! You're not going to do that. The devil's going to get you in deep sin because he gets you first in shallow sin. He's going to get you in deep sin because first he gets you in self-righteous acts. You don't depend on God while you, the Holy Spirit's power, and plead for His power while you preach. You don't plead for His power while you sing. You don't plead for His power while you teach. You don't plead for His power while you serve God. And you are doing church work, which is good work, in the energy of the flesh. And that's just one step from unrighteous flesh. That's the wile of the devil. He comes to a person and says, you don't need to pray all night. You don't need to pray an hour. You're too busy to pray an hour. And by the way, you've been teaching Sunday school now for years. You've been a Christian school teacher 6 or 8 years now. You know how to teach that class. And the devil gets you to transfer from doing good works in the power of the Holy Spirit to doing good works in your own energy. And when he has you doing good works in your own energy, he has you in the flesh. And he has you in the flesh doing good, he'll get you later, sooner or later, in the flesh doing bad. Because you're doing good works in the flesh. You know, we only destroy the bad of the flesh, but the good of the flesh must go too. It is Satan's entrance into the flesh to get us to do good in the flesh, and then later bad in the flesh. These Galatian people, the Bible says you began, having begun in the Spirit, are you made perfect through the flesh? Listen carefully. Nobody is saved by doing works of righteousness. Is that right? Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. Now, please listen to me a minute. Please listen carefully. I have taught you on Wednesday night, and in my book on salvation, as well as being saved, I've taught you the word saved means being salvaging. I have taught you that there are two parts of being saved. You're being saved from hell, that's being born again, and then being salvaged, remember that? Being salvaged the rest of you for your life. Like a fellow goes out here in the garbage can behind the church, he sees an aluminum can there. He takes that aluminum can out of the garbage. Now it is salvaged from the garbage. But that's not all of it. The purpose for taking that aluminum can from the garbage is to take it to a recycling place where that which has been lifted from the garbage may be recycled into doing that which is being constructive again and being used again. And God saves you from your sin. That's first step. But that's not all the saving. Just as really as good works could not save you and make you a Christian, good works cannot perfect you as a Christian or mature you as a Christian. And far too many of us have the idea that you're not saved by works, but you grow in grace by works. No, you don't grow in grace by works. You grow in grace the same way you got saved. You got saved when you said, "Jesus, save my soul," and the Holy Spirit did a work in you of regeneration and made you a child of God. Now that you are saved, you grow in grace exactly the same way you got saved. You yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, and He who did all the work at salvation does all the work of sanctification. You do the yielding. But we've got hundreds of folks in this room today who are doing works. I mean good works. But you have not cast yourself on the Holy Spirit for His power. And the devil came to you. The devil comes to you and says, "I want to wreck his life. I want to grab him and ruin him and wreck him. I want to make him a shipwreck. I want to get him." And you say, "Devil, you can't have me. I'm not going to live an unrighteous life in the flesh." The devil says, "I'm not through with you yet. I'll get you to live a self-righteous life in the flesh." So the devil comes to your Sunday school class and gets you to do that, teach that class in your own strength. And I'm talking to dozens and dozens of teachers this morning who taught your class in the flesh. Let me prove it. Scores of you don't even come to teachers' meeting anymore. You've broken your vow. You promised God you'd come. You promised the folks who enlisted you'd come to teachers' meeting. You don't come anymore. Why don't you come? Because it doesn't mean that much to you. That's why. What you're doing is you're doing good works in the flesh. And you keep on doing those good works in the flesh, ladies and gentlemen. The devil has you in the flesh. Now listen to me. I'm trying to save you from a heartbreak someday and a shipwreck someday. You better do what you do that's good in the power of the Holy Spirit of God Almighty. For if you don't, you'll be doing good in the flesh. When you see somebody who's dropped into a life of unrighteousness in the unrighteous flesh, you mark it down. He probably didn't start there. He started in living a life of self-righteous flesh. He did good things in the flesh. But brother, whether you do good in the flesh or bad in the flesh, it's still the flesh. I've been to spend this a long time. I'm a grizzled old veteran. I've seen self-confidence and self-reliance wreck many a person. I see preachers who flippantly prepare their sermons. I was preaching not long ago for a preacher, a man who's nearly my age, been preaching for 30 years, 35 years. Phone rang. He picked it up. And they said, "This is the local newspaper. We want your sermon for the..." They ran an ad in the paper. "We want a sermon title for next Sunday morning." Preacher said, "Okay, give me a minute." He thought a minute. He said, "This is it." He gave the sermon title. He hung up the phone. I said, "When did you decide to preach on that?" He said, "Right now. I had to have a title in the paper." And I said, "You mean you don't have a sermon on that?" "Oh, no." He said, "When I get rushed like this, I just give a title and I work on something to go with it between now and then." Now, he's a fine preacher, a capable preacher, a dynamic preacher. But I don't care, brother, if you're Billy Sunday, Dwight Moody, R. A. Torrey, and the Apostle Paul combined, you've got to preach in the power of the Holy Spirit or you won't make it. The danger comes if... Follow me. Very, very carefully for a second. I'll be through very, very carefully. Here's a nobody. That's what all of us were when God found us. Here's a nobody. And God comes along and says, "I want you to teach. I want you to sing. I want you to preach. I want you to do this work for me."
And you say, oh, God, I don't think I can. I remember, Brother Roy, when I talked to you about going to Christian college, Brother Moffitt said, I can't. I couldn't pass college. He was right. I couldn't pass college. I don't have the intelligence to pass college. I never have been a good student. I couldn't do it. And I said, you can. You can do it. And he did what all of us did when we were nobodies. We throw ourselves at the mercy of God and say, dear God, I can't do it. I remember that first time after I'd stumbled and failed my first sermon. First time I went to a church on a Sunday morning to preach all night the night before. I said, dear God, I don't know how to prepare a sermon. I don't know how to talk. I don't know how to deliver one. I don't know how to find one. Oh, God, you've got to help me. And God takes this little nothing, and God helps us. And miraculously, God makes us something. And God improves our flesh. Now, hear me carefully. He improves us. And then, after a while, we take what God has done and say, never mind, God. You fixed us up now. We can make it by ourselves. As if someday God works us to become the finished product, so that once we're the finished product, we don't need Him anymore. Let me tell you this, and God in heaven knows this is true. I've cried more over this sermon this morning than I did the first one I ever preached. Why? Because it's a spiritual work. I know how to outline sermons now. I didn't then. I know something about the mechanics of preaching now. I didn't then. I know the book now. I didn't then. But ladies and gentlemen, I don't care how much you know, the God that began the work must finish the work. The devil comes up to you and says, don't quit doing what's good. Keep on doing it. I'm not going to try to talk you into doing something real wicked now. Unclean flesh. No. Just go ahead. Do your good. And we transfer the good we do from His energy to ours. And when we do, the devil has us in the flesh. I'm talking to some Sunday school teacher this morning in this room. Dozens of you, I bet you. You won't be in church 2 years from now. And you'll be on a beer bottle. And you'll be living in the world. You know why I know? Because you're already living in the flesh. Why you say, preacher, I don't drink, smoke, cuss. I'm as clean as a hound's tooth. Not me! You're already living in the flesh. You're doing good in the flesh. But I want to serve notice on you that flesh is flesh. And my Bible says there's no way that flesh can please God. It is impossible for flesh to please God. And when you decide that you're not going to have to pray as much as you used to for that class, and you won't pray as, I'm talking to Christian school teachers right now who will be out of full-time Christian work in 3 years. You know why? Because you're routinely going through the good deeds that you used to have to beg God to help you to do. I say it again, and I'm through. Sinners cannot be saved by the efforts of the flesh, and the saints cannot be perfected by the saints of the flesh. With this, I'm through, and I repeat what I've said. Please listen as I summarize. The devil is after you. He's trying to wreck you. He comes and tries to get you to do the unclean sins of the flesh. You won't do that. You're a good Christian. You won't do that. That's repulsive to you. I mean, the awful uncleanness of the flesh is repulsive. The devil says, I've got to get there some way. I've got to figure out some way to get in there. I've got to get that person into the flesh. What does he do? He comes, listen, while you're singing a solo in church, and you say to yourself, I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. I think I'm in good voice today. And you're doing a good deed in the flesh. And as sure as my name is Jack Hiles, you are in the flesh. And there are hundreds of you this morning in this room that don't drink, but you're in the flesh. You don't cuss and you're clean, but you're in the flesh. You don't gamble, you don't steal, you don't cheat, but you're in the flesh. You don't smoke pot or even tobacco, but you're in the flesh. And when you get in the flesh, you become a red-hot prospect to change from self-righteous flesh to unrighteous flesh. I'm 58 years of age, 59 in 5 months and 5 months and 11 days. Well, that's 10 days and 12 hours. I've been preaching. I preach over 42,000 sermons, and another month or two, I'll reach 42,500 sermons in my ministry. Honest to Pete, I said to my preacher boys last night, of all the things I do, all the tremendous number of decisions, hundreds a week, and the many, many facets of the ministry here, and all the load I carry, hear me now, I spend more time preparing for my sermons and Bible studies than in all other parts and duties of my life put together. I don't need to, but I have to, or I'll be doing good in the flesh, and I'll be an easy prey for the wiles of the devil to transfer me from self-righteous flesh to unrighteous flesh. You'd be shocked if you knew how much time I spend on funeral messages. You'd be surprised if you knew how much time I spend preparing the thought. I preached a funeral message yesterday morning for Mrs. Hanks, the mother of Pastor John Hanks at Salt Village Baptist Church. I spent 6 hours. 6 hours in prayer and preparation for that one 35-minute funeral sermon. Please forgive me for saying this, but I could go to my files and look under F for funeral. And I could pull out a sermon that says funeral. I've got literally hundreds of funeral sermons. I didn't have to do it. Why, Ida? I'll tell you why. I do not want to serve God in the flesh. I want to serve God in the Spirit. And the devil comes this morning to you and he says, I want your life. Let me have you. Let me wreck you and ruin you. Let me have you in the uncleanness of the flesh. And you say, not on your life. That's testable to me. No way. I hate that kind of life. You have no idea, evil one, how detestable that is to me. No way. The devil says, I'm not through yet. I've got another door you don't know about. I've got a flesh you don't know about. I'll just tiptoe around the other door and I'll wiggle my way in your life. And I'll say, keep on singing. But do it in your own strength. Keep on preaching, but do it in your own strength. Keep on playing the organ or the piano, but do it in your own strength. Keep on leading the choir, but do it in your own strength. Keep on running a grade school, but you know enough about it. You've been out there for years now. You don't need to beg God on your face for the power of the Holy Spirit to rest upon you while you lead that school. Do it in your own strength. Brother John, you're an expert in handling people on the sick bed. You don't need to beg God to help you. Let me tell you something. Thursday night and Friday night, I counsel from 5:45 to way in the night, as I do so many nights. But there's never a night that I counsel before I open that door. And by the way, anytime I counsel, I walk in that door and close that door and get on my knees in front of that door. And I say, oh, Spirit of God, people are going to walk through this door all night tonight who have decisions to make that affect their lives and the lives of their children and their unborn grandchildren.
Oh, Spirit of God, many of them are going to do what I say, and I need your help. I need your guidance. I need... Folks, I write articles on counseling. I lecture on counseling. I teach a pastor's school, a worldwide pastor's school, and I talk about counseling. I've counseled more than any preacher alive. I don't care how much I counsel. I've got to have God's mighty power while I counsel. And I've got to have His wisdom. And I've got to counsel in the Spirit. I wonder how many of you this morning, you say, "Preacher, I didn't know what was happening. But I see it now. I see it. I'm serving God. I'm doing good. I'm doing good deeds. But I see now. I'm a right prospect for the unrighteous works of the flesh, because I right now am living in the self-righteous works of the flesh." Our Heavenly Father.